This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to Parsha Share. If you're listening online, please email me at j.goldker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. So Parsha's Tetzaveh, of course, contains all the details of the big day kohuna, the clothes that Aaron HaKohen would wear, the Kohen Gadol, and also all the other Kohanim, their clothes. But perhaps Parsha's Tetzaveh is famous not for what is in it, but what is not in it. And one of the most famous features of Parsha's Tetzaveh is the omission of Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Now, we've spoken about this in the past, but I came across two more explanations to why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in Parsha's Tetzaveh, which I thought were fabulous, and I would like to share with you. So let's take a look. So the first few answers we'll just review from previous years, but really it's answers number 6 and 7 that I want to share with you. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not mentioned in this Sedra? As the Balan Turim says, in other words, since Moshe Rabbeinu was born, he appears on the scene in Parshas Shemos, until the very end of the Torah in Vezos HaBracha, he appears in every single Sedra, apart from Parshas Tetzaveh. Why? V'hatam, so the Bala Turim says, Mishum she'oma mecheni no mesifrecha. In next week's Parsha, in Parshas Kisisa, after the Chet of the Eagle, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatens to destroy Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu pleads on our behalf and says that I'm with them, and if you get rid of them, then you're getting rid of me. Mecheni no mesifrecha. And, as the Gemara says, V'kilas chocham afilu al tanai bo, the curse of a wise person, even if it's on condition and the condition is not met, has got to be fulfilled, v'niskayim b'zeh, and therefore there's a manifestation, there's a fulfillment of Mecheni no mesifrecha in Parshas Tetzaveh. The question is, why Parshas Tetzaveh? So v'oid, he says, d'zu ha-parsha medaberes b'tachsisei kohuna, because this week's Parsha deals, like I said, with all the begodim of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen, and the adornments of the Kohanim. Or Moshe is a kohuna gedolah lotzeis. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu should have been the first Kohen. However, elal yedei shesirev lelech b'shlichus hamokam, but because he refused to go on the assignment, the mission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not from Imenu v'nosnu la'aron, he was punished and it was taken away from him, and the kohuna was given to Aaron HaKohen. Lochein v'nizka shmoi shel Moshe v'parshazu mipnei agmas nafshoi. It's a little bit insensitive. This is the parsha dealing with the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol, and to have Moshe Rabbeinu in this parsha is a little bit insensitive because he should have been the Kohen Gadol. Where is that from? So that's the pasuk in Shmos Perek Dalet, pasuk Yudalet. Vayichav Hashem b'Moshe, vayomer, you know, he's not taking up the mission to go save the Jewish people. Vayomer halo Aaron achicha Levi yodaiti, Aaron achicha Levi, Aaron achicha your Aaron is the Levi. I thought he's a Kohen. So Rashi famously says, he quotes Omer Bishud and Karcha, Kol Charon Avshe Batera Nema Baroshim. Whenever it says Vayicha, there's something happened. There was a Roshim. However, Vezela Nema Baroshim, but not here. V'Nimotzino Oynish, and we don't see a punishment because of this anger. Omer LeRabbi Yosi Afzu Nema Baroshim. Why? Because it says Hala Aaron Achicha Halevi Shehayosid Lios Levi V'Lo Kohen, because Aaron was meant to be the Levi, not the Kohen. And you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you should have been the progenitor of all Kohanim. Therefore, now it's not going to be like this. Now Aaron will be the Kohen, you will be the Levi. So that is what the Balat Turim is referring to. That's the first answer given because of the Agamas Nefesh that Moshe Rabbeinu would feel. Now, the other answers we mentioned in previous years is, I think Rav Avad Yosef says this, and others say it, Mecheni no mesifrecha. As the Balat Turim says, it's a fulfillment of Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Mecheni no mesifrecha. Sifrecha can read, not just your sefer, Moshe talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but mesefer chof. Chof is Gematria 20, your 20th sefer. Tetzaveh is the 20th parsha in the Torah. So Mecheni no mesefer chof, I am going to erase me from your 20th book, i.e. Parshas Tetzaveh. That's another answer. An answer which I always quite like, and this is, I always feel that this is a sort of very poignant answer. At the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu was displaying tremendous selflessness. when he says Mechein Inom Yisifrachot. That was the high point, if you like, of Moshe Rabbeinu's selflessness. We once spoke about it, Parshas Noach, Mechein Inom is the same words as Mei Noach, and that he was a Gilgul of Noach, and he was rectifying what Noach's lack of sort of selflessness, that was what we spoke about previous years. But why punish Moshe Rabbeinu for it? Mechein Inom Yisifrachot. So as it were, perhaps according to this Balat Urim, you've got to fulfill the words, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, as it were, reluctant to do so. So he waited for the last opportunity. In other words, when did this all take place? In next week's Parsha, Parsha's Kisisa. So there needs to be one Sedra where we're going to have a manifestation of Mechein Inom Yisifrachot. Will it be Kisisa? Well, it just happened. So let's wait till Vayakel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I don't want you to be not in the Sedra. Pekudei, Vayikra, Tzav, Shemini, and Moshe Rabbeinu is put, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing it off until we come right round again, until it's Parshas Tetzaveh. Next week is Parshas Kisisa. We've run out of Parshas. This is the reluctance to omit Moshe Rabbeinu's name. We wait until the last occasion. That's perhaps one reason. The other reasons we mentioned before is that Moshe Rabbeinu is sort of hidden in the Parsha. We have a Nigla and a Nista part to every person's name. Mem Shin Hei has the Nista of Mem, of Yud Nun and Aleph, I've written on the sheet over there. The Gematria of the Nista part of Moshe Rabbeinu's name adds up to 101, which is the number of Psukim and Parshas Tetzaveh. So it's behind the scenes, as it were. That's another answer. The Vilna Gaon says that it always falls around Zayin Adar, and therefore it's an appropriate time to omit Moshe Rabbeinu's name. Now, on to the two new reasons. Ad Kan was previous years. Reb Zalman Sirotskin was one of the great Gedolim of the 1900s, and he wrote a Pirush on Chumash called Yoznaim LaTorah, an amazing sefer. And I looked inside Yoznaim LaTorah, but I actually came across it in the sefer, the Shulchan Gevoya, and I've quoted from the Shulchan Gevoya, but he summarizes Yoznaim LaTorah in a very clear way. Let's read this box. This is the third box on the page. Madua Dafka Parshazu. Why here in this week's Sedra? Ashemimena Hushmat Shmoy Shel Moshe Rabbeinu Nivchara V'Nikva Nihikari B'Shavua Shechal B'Yim HaLatov V'Yim Histalkusoy. In other words, why Dafka Parshas Tetzaveh, which always falls around the birthday and the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, Zayin Adar? Elo, listen to this, amazing idea. Bikshu Chachomim Lahadgish. Chazal wanted to emphasize Es Ofiyo Shel Emunas Yisrael, the nature, the characteristic of the Jewish people, Shel Hamida Es Hamanhig Isholikim Bemerkas Hasiyav Avodas Hashem. You've got to be very careful not to put the leader of the Jewish people too much in the center, because we serve Hakadosh Baruch Hu and we don't worship the leaders. La Havdil Me Emunos Zoros Ashekovu Es Chageim Umayadehem, in contrast to other religions, where the centerpiece of their festivals and their celebrations relate to Bimei Hahuledes Vahamisa Shel Hamanig Hamachoikek. Everything is centered around the birthday, the death, the anniversary of death of their leader. Ki'ilu Kol Haimuna Eina Ela Boy V'lichvoida, as if the whole religion is centered around him. Lo zu hidarka shel emunas Yisrael. That is not the Jewish way. That's not Jewish theology. Asher leikov yomim gedolim halol zikaron lemei moed v'chagiga. We don't have festivals to sort of worship our leaders. That's a million miles away from Yiddishkeit. Lefichach, therefore, adarabba. On the contrary, to de-emphasize Moshe Rabbeinu, b'shavu ashechalboi yom petirose, on the day when he, on the week that his Moshe Rabbeinu takes leave of this world, lo yaskiru shemoi klal uklal b'kriya, we don't even mention him. We go to the other extreme. Hagam shemiparshas shemois bonis keres ledosoi, true, in parshas shemois we mention his birth. Ein parshas shelo yehi muskabo kama v'kama pom, and there's no sedra which doesn't mention his name countless times. Moreover, observes Yoznaim LaTorah, were it not for the fact that Chazal worked out when his Petira was, when his Yahrzeit was, and so too his the day of his birth, we wouldn't know it otherwise. It took Chazal do a bit of research and homework to figure out, and Rashi brings it, when exactly Moshe Rabbeinu died. In other words, the Torah tries to de-emphasize it. Shekein batera le'ro laskirim klal, because the Torah didn't seem fit to mention it. And the point being, we try to de-emphasize the centrality of the role of the leader by not even mentioning his yahrzeit, the day of his birth, to make us realize that Avodas Hashem is exactly that, is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not putting too much focus and emphasis on the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Parshas Tetzaveh is the appropriate time to omit him from the Torah. Now, there's one final answer which I'd like to share with you, which is a fabulous answer. You mentioned before that I had a chasna tonight, right? So I've come straight from a chuppah of a friend and a neighbor, and he popped into me a week or so ago, and he said, listen, I'm speaking at the chasna, you got to help me out. So I said to him, I've got a fabulous vod that you can say, and this is in his honor. I'm not being able to go to the dinner, so at least I'll share the idea that he's going to be sharing as well. But it's a fabulous idea, and I said this vod to the chasna of two of my own children. Moshe Rabbeinu, if you think about it, his name doesn't appear in Parshas Tetzaveh. It's understood to be a punishment for Moshe Rabbeinu. But why punish him? Like I said before, this is the high point of the selflessness of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why punish him? So the answer I heard was, I forget where I saw this, that omitting Moshe Rabbeinu's name from Parshas Tetzaveh is not a punishment, but it's a reward. How so? Listen to this. When was sort of the high point of Klal Yisrael in the whole Torah? What was the sort of the most special moment, the Chadish Omeinu Kekedem? What was the greatest height that Klal Yisrael achieved in the whole of Torah? Well, it has to be after Matan Torah. We are, of course, the people of the book, and that is our lifeblood. So it has to be some point after Yisro and Mishpatim, which deal with Matan Torah, and it has to be before the Chet of the Egel, which is Parshas Kisisa. In other words, our parasha, Parshas Tetzaveh, that really is the high point of the Jewish people. Now, the greatest delight for any parent, and certainly a parent who's speaking to his kala, his daughter, who's a kala, is the message you want to give them is that you're there if they need, but this is the time for them to flap their own wings and fly high and to move on. And the role of a good parent and the role of a good mechanech is to, at that point, take a step back and look down, if you like, with pride on what they've achieved, on this person that they've helped, this child who's now sort of flapping their wings and is moving on to the next stage of their life, but to take a step back, that you're in the background and you're there when needed, but not too much. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, is taking a step back and he's enjoying the nachas of the Jewish people at the high point of their existence after Matan Torah, before the Chet of the Egel. And therefore, his omission from Parshas Tetzaveh is an expression of Moshe Rabbeinu's delight, as it were, to take a step back and see his child, Klal Yisrael, flourish. So it's a very beautiful idea, Alpi Drush perhaps, but one of seven ideas that we presented tonight, why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is omitted from Parshas Tetzaveh. Okay, let's move on. So, Big Day Kahuna. It would seem that Big Day Kahuna, some ancient relic. I mentioned to you last week, I was in America and I went to this this amazing museum, the Living Torah Museum. And he brings to life, it's named Keshmei Keinhu, the Living Torah Museum. He really brings it all to life. But there's an idea of the Chofetz Chaim, which I think has some interesting ideas about lessons from the Big Day Kahuna, which are certainly applicable to today's life. So this is just an extract from the Sefer Chofetz Chaim al HaTorah. Let's take a look. There's only one piece on Parshas Tetzaveh, and this is it. Ve'ela ha'begodim asher yasu cheshen ve'efu d'me'il. U'b'neseches Erchin daf tezayin amud aleph. In Gemara Erchin daf tezayin amud aleph, Mefarash, it explains as follows. Da'a me'il hoya mechapeh al ovein loshen hara. The Gemara says there that the me'il, the long robe that the Kohen would wear, would be mechapeh, would atone for loshen hara spoken. Because the Dovah Shebekol, the Me'il, had bells underneath, and therefore you heard the Kohen Gadol walk in and out. So therefore, that me'il, which made a noise, should be mechapeh al ma'ase hakol on Loshon Hara spoken. V'lochein k'siv, and that's why it says, v'osiso es me'il ha'efoid, kolil t'cheles. Rashi says, kolil t'cheles is Loshon of kuloi, that it's all made of t'cheles, that me'il was made of t'cheles, the kohen would wear t'cheles. Sh'at'cheles doim eliyam. Why? Because the t'cheles is similar to the sea, it's a green, bluey color, V'yam doimel rakia, and the sea is parallels the color of the sky. V'rakia doimel kisei hakovod, and that reminds us of the kisei hakovod. V'alidei zeh yizkar sheyoveh ledin lifnei kisei hakovod. And therefore, tzecheles is meant to, like with tzitzis, and so too the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, are there to remind a person that one day he's going to have to give judgment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'tona dvei Eliyahu issa, and the Medrash says, she'loshen hara oile ad keneged kisei hakovod. The Loshon Hara is so devastating that it goes all the way up to the Kisei HaKovod. Shenema, as he brings a pasuk, Validation lovish techeles yizker v'yispoinein, and by wearing this techeles, the me'il, he will remember and he will contemplate aye devar of olim v'yishomar mizeh. He will remember that this color that I'm wearing is techeles, which is domel yam and domel rakia and domel kisei hakovod, and this is the consequences of Loshon Hara, that it goes all the way to the kisei hakovod. So it's a sort of a reminder for him not to speak Loshon Hara. That's the me'il. V'hoya pirosha besoicha. Now furthermore, the me'il, the sort of the hem, it's got like a stitching around the neck, is pirosha besoicha. Remez l'mash omr chazal b'meseches chudin. Daf Peites Amud Aleph, Allah Posuk, it says, Toile Eretz al Belimo. Which is talking about the creation of the world. Al Mi, but Al Pidrush, the Gemara explains, Al Mi Ha'olam Kayim, for whom is the world created or does it exist for? Al Mi Shaboilem Piv Beshas Meriva. Someone who stays quiet during an argument. Vahainu, Sheyichboish Oz es Kol Diburo Sheloyetze Lachutz. That he just doesn't shout out and throw words out. There is a hem, there is a thick sort of double border around the neck of the meal. Hanushi itzai benafshe, which is an illusion for the kohen to remember. That his lips are also sort of a hem around the border to prevent words coming out. That the pasuk says that it shouldn't rip. Or pirush Rashi lemanusha sirugam shalohem pihem kupul kadei shelo yikareh. That it was like written, it was sort of sealed up in a way that it wouldn't tear. Or the remez lanu, to hint to us, kamosha hasirian she'adam loivish who lo lemagein ulamechse, like a shield that a person has is for protection. Shelo yuzuk min achitzim shezarkim alav to prevent arrows penetrating. Kein mishaboy lepiv who lo lemagein. So too, a person who closes and seals his mouth, it should be a protection for him, against the person who's trying to argue and agitate him. Because the end of the day, the best shield to sort of quash an argument is to just be silent. Because if you're silent, you're going to lower the tone, you're not going to raise it. Because there's no response. If you don't respond, he's not going to fight back. Then it will come to blows if you keep arguing back. Etc. So just be silent. So another aspect of the me'il is the stitching around it is to avoid, is to remind you of the stitching around your mouth, as it were, the words, the lips can seal the words in. And moreover, at the bottom of the me'il, you have pomegranates and you have bells. What are those two reflective of? Roimzim, they hint, namasha omru chazal, to what chazal say, Gemara in Chulin as well, peites and alef, ma unosom shel odom b'olam hazeh. What is the profession, what is the occupation of a person in this world? Yasim atzmo ki'ilei. He should make himself like a mute, that he can't speak. Yochlaf l'divrei Torah, the Talmud Torah again. Maybe that should extend to the saying words of Torah, Talmud Lomad Sedek Tadabran, that you should speak words of Torah. Nimtza lefizeh, it therefore emerges, Shebechol eis sheyesh lo la'odom p'nai, that when a person has the opportunity, lo yeshev bottle, don't waste your time, Ela yilmud Torah. Use it productively. Learn Torah. Uvashar she'en yochel yilmud Torah, me'ez ha'sibah she'en. If a person cannot learn Torah at that moment, he's going out to work, he's going shopping, then yosim atzmo ki'ilim. Then that's the time to be silent and not to blabber and speak too much about others, etc. She'en yochel liftech piv. V'lezeh hoya al shulei ha'me'il. And that is what is on the hem of the me'il, soviv, pa'amon zohov v'rimon. You've got the bell and you've got the golden and you've got the pomegranate. Pa'amon zohov, the golden bell, is hudova ha'mashmiya kol. That makes a noise. Remez al limud ha'Torah, that's the time when you do have to speak, the limud ha'Torah. V'harimon she'etz la'pa'amon, and the pomegranate, which is next to every bell, that's referring to the shtika. So a human being has got to use his power of speech judiciously. On one hand, he should speak productively words of Torah, encouragement, etc. That's the pa'amoin that makes the noise. But on the other hand, siag l'choch mashtika. Sometimes just to be quiet is actually the best solution. And that is reflected by the rimoin, which doesn't make a noise. And that's why there's the alternate pa'amoin, rimoin, all the way around the hem of the me'il. Finishes off. If a person conducts himself in this way, taking care of when he speaks and when he doesn't speak, the Torah assures a person that his voice will be heard when he goes into the sanctuary. That the call of his tefillah and his Torah will be heard up on high.
So very.
Why pomegranate? I don't know. Okay, money mitzvah karimain, I don't know. But what? But the point is, it's silent as opposed to the palmain, which is noisy. Okay, let's just do one more piece. This is a very lovely idea of the Kedushas Levi. It's a question that the Ramban asks at the end of the parsha. Like I said earlier, the parsha's Tetzaveh deals primarily with the Big Day Kuhuna. But towards the end of the parsha, you've got something which seems to be totally out of place. It says, if you look in paragraph 3, it's in Parak Lamed, V'osisa mizbech mikdor k'toires atse shittim ta'ase oisoi. The mizbech k'toires. Paragraph 3. You've got the mizbech k'toires, which is the mizbech inside the actual heichel, inside the kodesh. Right? You've got the mizbech, the big mizbech outside where you put all the karbonos on. And then you go into the kodesh and you've got the menorah, the shulchan, and in the middle you've got the mizbech k'toires. Amo arkei, amo rochbei, it's square, it's not very big, amo saim kemoso, only two amos high, about this high, yeah, with that sort of shape. The question is, what is it doing in this week's parasha? The Mizbech HaKetores should be like with all the other kelim in last week's parasha. And that is the kasha of the Ramban. The Kedushas Levi brings it, Maksha Ramban, Lama Kosov Maisa Mizbech Kan, why is the Mizbech HaKetores over here in this week's Parsha and Parsha Tetzaveh, Halava Parsha's Truma Shom Mekoyma? Surely the correct place for it is in Parsha's Truma with all the other Kalim of last week's Sedra. That's the Kasha of the Ramban. So look what the Kedushas Levi explains. The Kedushas Levi, the Bedichava, who's of course one of the Chevra Kedisha, they were called. They were the third generation of Hasidim. The Baal Shem Tov was the first generation. His Talmud was the Magid of Mezrich. And then the third generation was Reb Melech of Luzhensk and Reb Zusha, his brother, the Baal HaTanya, and the Kedushas Levi. So he was the Kedushas Levi is one of the very early Hasidic masters, and his Sefer is a classic on Chumash. Vahanira says the Kedushas Levi, Ki kan tziva kodesh baruch hu la'aseh es aron kohen gadol. Because in this week's parsha, there is a tzivui to make Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, for la'aseh lo big day kodesh, big day kohuna, and to make big day kohuna for him to wear. V'shema chas v'shalom ye kitrug al zeh. And the concern is that when you have the appointment of Aaron HaKohen, there may be a kitrug, there may be some sort of accusation against him. Kasha hoya b'soif machlekes kerach l'kuhuna shel Aaron, which in fact there was. In Parshas Korach, there was some sort of challenge to him. Therefore, in this week's parasha, which deal with the Big Day Kuhuna and the appointment of Aaron HaKohen as the Kohen Gadol, immediately after that appointment, we have the parasha of the Mizbeach HaKetores. Why? Last was Mizbeach Mikta Ketores, Al Yidei HaKetores Huvra Kizeh HaTzivu Me'HaKadosh Baruch Hu She'ar Nihyeh Kohen Gadol. Because what was the Ketores? This is what the Mizbech is for. You bring the Ketores into the Mizbech HaKetores. That's what it's called. because it was the Keteres which ultimately verified that Aaron was going to be the Kohen. That's what it says in Parshas Korach, that after the whole rebellion, it was the whole incident of the Keteres, A, which verified Aaron was the Kohen, and B, put an end to the Magefa, to the plague. Kashahoy Bemis, Besof Machlekes, Korach Bukteres in Bamidbar Tes Zayin, V'kal Lehovin. So therefore, says the Kedushas Levi, to answer the Kasha of the Ramban, the reason why the Mizbeach Keteres is in Parshas Tetzaveh and not in its natural, logical place of Parshas Truma, is to allude to the fact that its function, one of its functions, would be that straight after Aaron HaKohen is appointed and given the Big Day Kahuna in this week's Parsha, we're going to put in place the Keteres, which is going to be to his aid when there's any challenge to his role of the Kohen Gadol. The Keteres is going to come and it's going to verify Aaron as the Kohen Gadol and quash any rebellion and any plague that happened as a result of it. So there we have three pieces tonight. Number one, the main idea of the omission of Moshe Rabbeinu's name, several answers that we had from previous years, and also these two new ideas, the Oznaim Latera, that the danger of hero worship in contrast to other religions, and then lastly, that idea of punishment and reward, that actually perhaps this was not a punishment for Moshe Rabbeinu, but a reward, that he could take a back seat and look with pride at the high point of the Jewish people. And then we had lessons from the Big Day Kahuna of the Chofetz Chaim and the answer of the Kedushas Levi to the Kasha of the Ramban of why the Mizbech HaKeteres is in this week's Parsha and not last.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.